From WAMC in Albany, this is the Legislative Gazette, a weekly magazine on New York State government and politics. Your host is Dave Galletly, with commentary by political scientist Dr. Alan Shartok of the State University of New York at New Paltz.
Coming up this week, Alan Shartok predicts the winners and the losers, with the election only days away. New York could wind up with a $500 million deficit, and it appears the truce between Pierre Infray and state Republicans is off. Those stories and much, much more on this week's Legislative Gazette. State officials now say they're projecting a state budget deficit this year of over a $500 million. That's if existing spending continued as planned, and announced an immediate freeze on hiring, among other measures. Without cuts, Budget Director Dahl Forsythe says he sees a total deficit of $574 million by the end of the fiscal year ending March 31st. And he says the state legislature is going to have to convene to deal with the gap. Forsythe says he sees the national recession continuing at least through the middle of next year. Budget Division spokeswoman Claudia Hutton says the Iraqi invasion of Kuwait helped to drive the state into a recession, but there are other factors as well.
There has been a general economic decline nationally for the last year and a half. That hasn't helped either, but the federal government has released estimates showing that the economy for 1989 and the early part of 1990 was far weaker than had been previously believed. That, coupled with the change in the oil prices and an erosion in consumer confidence caused by the long federal budget stalemate, have pushed New York into a recession. That's forced us to change our economic forecast for spending and for revenues.
Claudia Hutton of the State Budget Division. Hugh Johnson is chief investment strategist of First Albany Corporation, a brokerage, securities, and investment banking firm headquartered in Albany. He says while no one views the latest developments as good news, there is a positive side.
Even right before an election, the state is willing to, first of all, recognize a deteriorating financial picture. You know, that it really just sort of suggests to me that politics is not at play now. That it's very healthy that the state is, first of all, recognizing it. Secondly, not only is the state recognizing that there is a financial or a fiscal problem, but I think it's pretty good news that the state is obviously ready to not only recognize it, but to do something about it. Talking not about increasing taxes, which is good news, but controlling or reducing expenditures. And that's also, I think, good news, especially, again, because it comes before an election. In other words, basically taking politics out of this discussion or this dialogue. Now, it's not good news for the state when you start to reduce spending. It does mean that puts some downward pressure, particularly in the Albany area, on the local economy. But at the same time, I don't believe that it's going to cause a change in the state's credit rating.
Hugh Johnson of First Albany Corporation. Pierre Infray has renewed his criticism of the state Republican Party. Bruce Robertson has this report.
Pierre Infray says if he does not win Tuesday's election, he will move out of New York State. Infray, in a telephone interview with WSKG Radio in Binghamton, said he will move his residence and his business and advise all of his clients as well to leave New York. The brash Manhattan economist, trailing Governor Cuomo by nearly 50 points in the polls and in danger of dragging the GOP off the second ballot position with him, renewed his attacks Tuesday on the state Republican Party.
With no cooperation with the Republican Party, no help from the Republican Party, no money from the Republican Party. And the fourth one that done that. The last three Republican candidates were thrown to the wolves by the Republican Party. There is no Republican Party in this state. It's a disaster. It's almost as bad as the Democrats. We have two ineffectual parties who collaborate with each other in enormous collusion to create the disasters we've got.
Infray claimed he was promised financial assistance in the wake of a unity rally in Albany 3 weeks ago, but has not received a dime.
They promised monetary support, there's none. They promised moral support, there's none. They got the unity rally, which I started and suggested we put it together, and now they've double-crossed me. And they've given me no assistance whatsoever. It's kind of funny. The biggest assistance I've gotten so far has come from Giuliani, who is at odds with the Republican Party.
Renfrey added he will not drop out of the race, nor will he endorse conservative Herb London. There had been rumors he would do just that at the second gubernatorial debate scheduled for this Sunday in New York City. For the Legislative Gazette, this is Bruce Robertson.
Governor Cuomo, Attorney General Robert Abrams, and the 21st Century Environmental Quality Bond Act all appear to have an easy road ahead this coming Tuesday. With a look at the latest poll from the Marist College Institute of Public Opinion, here's Brian Shields.
The latest poll from the Poughkeepsie-based Marist College Institute of Public Opinion offers no surprise as to who will win this year's race for governor. According to the poll, Governor Cuomo will take 61% of the vote. That's up 1% from the last Marist poll released in early September. The race then appears to be for second, where conservative Herb London and Republican Pierre Renfrey are neck and neck. This is Marist Institute Director Dr. Lee Mieringoff.
That's a dead heat for second. London is doing well, for example, among Republican votes, which should be Renfrey's core of support. Cuomo leads among Republicans with 38%. Renfrey has 23. London has 20.5. So what you see is a large division among the Republican voters across the state, and London is Cuomo is getting a good piece of the Republican vote. Renfrey and London are vying very closely for that group as well, and that, of course, should be Renfrey's core group of support.
Renfrey has 11.3% to London's 11%. Right-to-Life candidate Lewis Wien is favored by 2% of those polled. If London finishes ahead of Renfrey, the Conservative Party will take Row B on New York State ballots for the next 4 years. Conservative officials will also have ballot inspection privileges for the next 4 years at the expense of the Republicans. The Democrats and the Republicans have held the top two rows since the Civil War. But will voters turn out to determine a race for second place?
It's interesting to note that voters usually don't come out to vote for second. So the net effect of all this may be a low turnout on the Republican side because you're not going to generate interest in the part of the electorate over who's going to finish second or not. But what is certainly interesting is Renfrey's negatives have gone up in the last month. And that's just a further indication that his candidacy has really just not taken hold one bit.
Turnout will be very important in the controller's race, where incumbent Republican Ned Regan leads Democrat Carol Bellamy by less than 1%. Dr. Mieringoff says Regan needs the turnout more than Bellamy.
No doubt that in that particular race, turnout will be a key in determining who is the eventual winner. If, in fact, Republican turnout upstate, for example, is somewhat disproportionately lower, that could have a very major impact on that outcome, absolutely.
Robert Abrams looks like a shoo-in for another term as Attorney General. The poll says Abrams will get 71% of the vote. Republican Bernard Smith was favored by 14%. Right-to-Lifer Robert Nolan had 5%. Supporters of the 21st Century Environmental Bond Act also enjoy a substantial lead over opponents, 40% to 14%. But only 37% of those polled said they were aware that the nearly $2 billion borrowing question will be on the ballot. 59% of those polled felt the state was headed in the wrong direction. Only 25% felt the state was headed in the right direction. Dr. Mieringoff says that this statistic hardly damaged Governor Cuomo's standing, and that's one of the more fascinating aspects of the poll. For the Legislative Gazette, I'm Brian Shields.
While Republicans statewide have not had a lot to cheer about in this year's gubernatorial campaign, conservatives have been very happy with the performance of Herb London. Lee Farbman has this report.
That Herb London is in a close race with Pierre Renfrey has state conservative officials elated, but his candidacy alone has made national conservative officials very happy. His opposition to many of Pierre Renfrey's positions have won him a great deal of praise in Washington. Bob Billings is legislative director of the American Conservative Union. He supports London and would like to see him do well.
I don't think anybody is willing to bet their salary that Herb will win, but we all believe that he can win. We all would like to see him win. He's an excellent candidate. He's an outstanding man. He carries the concerns of the conservatives. He carries it admirably. And I've met with him a few times. I'd give anything to be a citizen of New York so that I could vote for Mr. London. And I hope he has a real strong showing.
One reason Billing noted for his enthusiasm is that London is pro-life, except in the case of rape or incest. Renfrey has described his position on abortion as being pro-choice, period. And now that London is drawing even with Renfrey, will his stock in the Republican Party rise?
if he has a good showing, I think that it will. It's just sad that it's just not a two-man race in my view, and I wish that he does do well so that his standing would be increased, because I think he has a great political career ahead of him, and I think the people of New York would be served well by having Herb London in.
As for Pierre Renfray, Billings says Washington's conservative community does not hold a very high opinion of him. So with a good showing expected on Election Day, it appears we may be hearing more from Herb London in the future. For the Legislative Gazette, I'm Lee Farbman.
In the Capital District, radio campaign ads have aired for Pierre Renfray. They aren't the normal ads, however. These ads feature Capital District Republican legislators saying why they support Renfray. The ads are paid for by the local legislators. On the surface, it would appear to be a chance to get Capital District residents to vote for Renfray. But an assemblyman says there's another agenda. Saratoga's Robert DeAndre says the main reason for the ads is to help Republicans save Roe B on the ballot. Our Mike Fondacaro asked DeAndre how he felt the Renfray campaign has gone.
Well, he's put his foot in his mouth an awful lot. So I don't think he's turned the electric on, let me put it that way. And if he had, we wouldn't be out there doing what we're doing. That's very unfortunate that he hasn't been the kind of candidate that would just... Because I think so many people are unhappy with Governor Cuomo this time. I think he is at the lowest tide that he has been in his 8 years in state government. And I think there would be an opportunity to win that election if our candidates were being acceptable by the people in that governor's level. And that isn't happening the way we would like to see it. We're hoping by Election Day that people... That will go out and vote, number one. We think that's so important. And we hope that they will vote that Republican line right across, certainly, because it's important to get that vote for Pierre, because we've got to save that Republican line. So we think it's important.
Is this an admission that Renfray is not going to win the election?
For me to sit here and try to tell you that Renfray is considered a favorite or has a real good shot at winning that election would not be in keeping with the way I always respond. I try to be as honest as I possibly can, tell the truth and not mislead people. Renfray at this particular point certainly is not a favorite to win this election at all. And I think it would amaze most people if he were to win. We're hoping that he comes out with a decent vote. That's what we're fighting and working for. I'm going to be very honest with you. We want to be able to maintain that Republican line. It's going to be very important to us, and that's why we're out there asking people, get out and vote, and vote for Renfray, if for no other reason to help the Republicans maintain that number two line. That is important.
Saratoga Assemblyman Robert DeAndre speaking with the Legislative Gazette's Mike Fondacaro. Asked how campaign contributors might feel if they knew the money was going to this effort, DeAndre says his contributors wouldn't mind, since the ads are for the good of the Republican Party. Governor Cuomo appears to be surviving the anti-incumbency wave spreading the nation, but there's a strong feeling that the nation's current elected officials are not doing a good job. A recent Albany demonstration offered proof. Karen DeWitt reports.
When you go into the booth, remember that. You're mad as hell. You won't take it anymore.
And
pull
the lever up. Bums out. Load the bums out.
All across the country, as revealed on talk shows, in polls, and in demonstrations, there's a growing feeling of frustration this election year over the behavior of politicians in office. And as the standard of living for Americans declines, some, like Mitchell Goldstein, blame their decreased buying power on ever-increasing taxes.
We need our money in our own pockets so that we can choose to do what with it as we choose. If we want to send our kids to college, how are we supposed to do that? How are we supposed to save if there's nothing left?
Goldstein, a financial advisor who says he's seen the effects of economic decline firsthand through his clients, organized a Sweep the Bums Out rally as part of a National Taxpayers Action Day. While the event was billed as including several hundred people, only about 75 showed up. The inability of President Bush and Congress to fashion a federal budget in a timely manner just days before elections has fueled the wave of anti-incumbency, as Rally Speaker John Dorosky points out.
As you know, we've just had a tax summit. They called it a what?
budget summit, but actually they were meeting to discuss taxes and what taxes to raise. They weren't meeting to discuss where to make cuts in the government waste.
Underneath the anti-tax, anti-incumbency sentiment is a longing by some for an older way of life before the women's movement. Goldstein claims mothers don't want to work but are forced to by high taxes.
When mother's at work, the kids are in daycare, being warehoused. How do you like that? How do you like that thought? Your children being warehoused. And when they're in that warehouse, what are they being taught? That government is great, isn't it? When they're in that warehouse, what are they subjected to? You know yourself, kids get diseases.
Goldstein believes government should get out of the road and bridge building business, the mail delivery business, and education.
In our own country,
and we want to initiate a referendum in this state.
The children were taught at home, and they were taught from the book that was in most homes, the Bible. And that's how come de Tocqueville said America is great because America is good. That's where you learn the values at home. Yes, mother should be teaching children.
While others might not favor as limited a view of proper government activity as Goldstein does, Suzanne Neville attended the rally with her husband and small child because she says her family cannot afford a mortgage.
I think that the government is just living high on the hog and they need to cut back just like the average family. When they run out of money, you have to cut back.
But would putting new people in office necessarily mean that leaders of government would be any better?
Can't be any worse.
Conservative candidate for governor Herb Lundin also addressed the crowd.
I really feel like I'm with my people.
Lundin favors less government. He said earlier in the campaign that welfare mothers who have more than one child should be penalized. He favors a means test for SUNY students and privatization of many government functions. Lundin says New Yorkers spent the first 5 months of 1990 working just to pay state and federal taxes.
Now, if you want a definition of socialism, there it is. Let me tell you that in a significant portion of the world today, people are trying to give up public property and convert it to private property. In New York State, what we're doing is taking private property and converting it into public property. I'm not sure whether I live in Eastern Europe or I live in a free world.
And a Marist College poll shows voters may be agreeing with London's anti-government stance. The conservative candidate was running even for second place with Republican Pierre Renfray. But New York's best-known incumbent, Governor Mario Cuomo, appears undamaged by the anti-politician phenomenon. Nearly 61% of voters said they'll support him to serve a third term in office. In Albany, I'm Karen DeWitt.
No more taxes.
All right, I like that.
That report courtesy of the New York Public Radio Albany Bureau. For the past 5 weeks, our Mike Fondacaro has spoken with reporters from across the state to find out what the important issues are. So far, we've heard from reporters in virtually all areas of the state. Long Island remains. This week, Mike spoke with Brian Marquardt, assistant Long Island editor for Newsday.
What do you see as being some of the key concerns of Long Islanders as we come very close to Election Day now?
Well, it would seem by watching the political campaigns this fall and looking at the politicians as they react to the voters that taxes is the key issue. And the environment, women's issues are also strong issues, but taxes seems to be the thing that's on everybody's mind. And it certainly is what the politicians are addressing, regardless of party.
Have taxes made for any interesting races, the issue of taxes? Have they made for any interesting races on Long Island?
Yes, actually, one of the three senatorial races that has a chance of being close and in which the challenger has a shot at unseating a longtime incumbent is the 4th Senatorial District. And there, Senator Owen Johnson, a 9-term senator, is trying to fend off a challenge by Maxine Postal, who's a Suffolk County legislator, by talking about her record on taxes. As a Suffolk County legislator, she voted for some rather significant tax increases for the county, and Johnson is using that as campaign fodder, while she has used his record on the environment. He is the chairman of the Senate Environmental Conservation Committee.
What other interesting races are there on the island?
Again, I think we shall stick with the Senate. The other two interesting ones are the 3rd Senatorial District, where once again we have a Suffolk County legislator, Stephen Levy, as the Democratic challenger. The incumbent, Cesar Trunzo, is seeking his 10th term. Levy doesn't quite have the record that Postal does with taxes. The Republicans are trying in their campaign against her for the county legislature last year, called her Taxing Postal. Steve Levy also voted for many of the tax increases, but he notes that he introduced more tax cut amendments than any of the other legislators in the Suffolk County legislature. The other senatorial race, and perhaps the most interesting of the lot, is the 1st Senatorial District, which is the east end of the island, out in the Hamptons and the North Fork. And there, incumbent Ken LaValle, longtime incumbent Republican, has 14 years in the Senate, is running against Sherry Henry, a former radio talk show personality, who is waging a real tough battle with him that has turned personal in the last week. Sherry Henry had run some ads attacking Ken LaValle for missing a significant amount of votes in the Senate, and LaValle responded that the reason that he missed those votes was that he was caring for his very ill father. And now the radio ads have taken on a very personal note, with each of the candidates addressing the other personally. And Senator James Lack from the abutting 2nd Senatorial District has started running campaign ads for Ken LaValle, again, just specifically addressing Sherry Henry. Presumably all of these candidates realize that the people who are actually listening to these are the voters, but the commercials tend to start out, Ken, I apologize for doing such and such, or Sherry, you've gone too far with your criticism, etc. That race could be very close, and no small part due to the finances too. That Sherry Henry, as the challenger, has as of earlier in the month, had raised about $150,000, or expected to spend in that vicinity.
Brian Markward of Newsday speaking with the Legislative Gazette's Mike Fondacaro. And since this is the last Legislative Gazette before Election Day, our political analyst, Dr. Alan Chartok, joins us now with a look at what's going to happen next week. And first, we talked about how big Cuomo was going to win.
Cuomo wins by 65% of the vote or more. The Marist Institute has him winning by 60% or more, up 5 points since the last time that they did it. I think that Pierre Infray has damaged himself so badly, including this week, his attestation that if he lost the election, he was going to sell his condominium and move out of New York. It is such sour grapes. It is every time this guy opens his mouth, he gets into more and more trouble. Now, he said some stuff about his relatives knowing the muckamucks in the Canadian government, and the Canadians are saying he didn't do it. I mean, every week. The one thing you got to give him is he was unknown at the beginning of this campaign, and now everybody knows him. What they know, they don't like, and that seems to be his big problem.
But does Renfrey come in second?
That is the question. The Marist poll has Herb Lundin, the conservative, and Renfrey at an absolute even keel at about 11%. And if that happens for the next 4 years, you could see the conservatives being the second biggest party in New York State.
Okay, do the Democrats take control of the state Senate?
My intuition is that if enough Republicans are disgusted and stay home because of the top of the ticket, it could happen. But I doubt very much, because I just don't see where the races are. It is absolutely conceivable that the Democrats could pick up as many as 2 more seats, leaving them 2 short, unless we really have what is called a major realigning election, in which a lot of Republicans stay home. Ned Regan, the controller, ends up losing to Carol Bellamy because he didn't have enough Republicans turning out to vote for the governor, therefore they weren't there to vote for him. So, yes, I think that it's possible that both Ned Regan could lose and that the state Senate could go Democratic.
Okay, the Environmental Bond Act, which way does it go?
I think it passes. It's very interesting. Most of the people who have been asked about the Environmental Bond Act apparently do not know about it. So you have this huge undecided vote. And then the people who do know about it, it's pretty even. Most people think of the environment as motherhood, and most people don't know what's in it. Therefore, they are more likely, in my opinion, to vote for it than vote against it. However, the reason if it goes down is going to be over land acquisition. And in my view, the state has decided to buy massive amounts of land. Most of this environmental bond issue is for buying land. And I think, frankly, that that is probably turning out to be the biggest mistake of all. Because everybody wants clean water where there's money for that in there. Everybody wants the dumps reconstructed so that there's no leaching and toxics coming out of it. But I think a lot of people have grave doubts as to whether this is the year to be in buying a lot of land.
The Legislative Gazette's political analyst, Dr. Alan Shartok. Joining us next with a look at some of the other events in state government this week is Paul Rosenthal with our Legislative Notebook.
One of New York State's best-known Democrats has endorsed Republican State Controller Ned Regan. Former New York City Mayor Ed Koch says Regan has done a reasonably good job and says it's good to have a Republican in office to check on Democratic Governor Mario Cuomo. Koch and the Democratic candidate for controller, Carol Bellamy, clashed repeatedly when Koch was mayor and Bellamy was a New York City Council president. A group representing 1,900 Adirondack citizens announced opposition to the proposed $2 billion Environmental Bond Act. The Adirondack Fairness Coalition predicted dire consequences if the Bond Act is passed by New York voters on November 6th. The group says permanent depression will hit the Adirondacks if the state acquires more land. $800 million is earmarked for land acquisition statewide under the Bond Act proposal. Coalition Chairman Frederick Monroe says if the Bond Act is passed, no trees will be cut, jobs will be lost, and a valuable resource would stand wasted. Conservative gubernatorial candidate Herb London, campaigning on the Capitol steps in Albany, called the Bond Act the wrong act at the wrong time for the wrong purposes. Meanwhile, the Bond Act has found another supporter. The Public Employees Federation, New York State's second largest public employees union, has endorsed the issue. PEF says the act will provide the state with both public and private job opportunities. For the Legislative Gazette, I'm Paul Rosenthal.
And that about does it for this week's show. Join us next week when we'll wrap up Campaign 90. For the Legislative Gazette, I'm Dave Gilletley.
The program is made possible with grants from the Legislative Gazette, the newspaper about state government. Subscription information available by calling 518-473-6482. And Empire Information Services, serving New York and New England with electronic news release distribution.
Campaign 90 is almost over. I'm Dave Gilletley. Coming up on this week's Legislative Gazette, Alan Shartok will join us for predictions of the winners and losers. We'll also look at the latest troubles with the state budget. Join us each week for the Legislative Gazette.